Chapter 125. Alignment Diagnosis and Service. Purpose of an alignment. Proper wheel alignment of all four wheels is important for the safe handling of any vehicle. When all four wheels are traveling the same path and are being kept nearly vertical, tire life and fuel economy are maximized and vehicle handling is sure and predictable. A complete wheel alignment is a complex process that includes many detailed steps and the skill of a highly trained technician. Pre-alignment correction techniques. There are four basic steps in the correction of any problem. Number 1. Verify. What, when, where, and to what extent does the problem occur? Number 2. Isolate. Eliminate known good parts and systems. Always start with the simple things first. For example, checking and correcting tire pressure and rotation of the tire should be one of the first things performed whenever trying to isolate the cause of an alignment-related problem. Number 3. Repair the problem. This step involves replacing any worn or damaged components and making sure that the alignment is within factory specifications. And number 4. Recheck. Always test drive the vehicle after making a repair. Never allow the customer to be the first to drive the vehicle after any service work. A thorough inspection of the steering, suspension, and tires should be performed before the alignment of the vehicle is begun. Refer to Figure 125-1. The owner of this Honda thought that all it needed was an alignment. Obviously, something more serious than an alignment caused this left rear wheel to angle inward at the top. See Figure 125-1. Tech tip. Align and replace at the same time. Magnetic bubble type camber caster gauges can be mounted directly on the hub or on an adapter attached to the wheel or spindle nut on front wheel drive vehicles. See Figure 125-2. Besides being used as an alignment setting tool, a magnetic alignment head is a great tool to use whenever replacing suspension components. Anytime a suspension component is replaced, the wheel alignment should be checked and corrected as necessary. An easy way to avoid having to make many adjustments is to use a magnetic alignment head on the front wheels to check camber with the vehicle hoisted in the air before replacing front components, such as new McPherson struts. Then, before tightening all of the fasteners, check the front camber readings again to make sure they match the original setting. This is best done when the vehicle is still off the ground. For example, a typical front-wheel drive vehicle with a McPherson strut suspension may have a camber reading of positive 1/4 of a degree on the ground and positive 2 degrees while on the hoist with the wheels off the ground. After replacing the struts, simply return the camber reading to positive 2 degrees and it should return to the same positive 1/4 of a degree when lowered to the ground. Though checking and adjusting camber before and after suspension service work does not guarantee a proper alignment, it does permit the vehicle to be moved around with the alignment fairly accurate until a final alignment can be performed. Pre-alignment checks. Before checking or adjusting the front end alignment, the following items should be checked and corrected, if necessary, as part of the pre-alignment checks. Number 1. Check all the tires for proper inflation pressures. Tires should be approximately the same size and tread depth, and the recommended size for the vehicle. See Figure 125-3. Number 2. Check the wheel bearings for proper adjustment. Note, some alignment technicians think that the vehicle must have new tires installed before an accurate alignment can be performed. Excessively worn tires, especially if only one tire is worn, can cause the vehicle to lean slightly. It is this unequal ride height that is the important fact to consider. If, for example, all four tires are equally worn, then the vehicle can be properly aligned. Obviously, excessively worn tires should be replaced, and it would be best to align the vehicle with the replacement tires installed to be assured of an accurate alignment. Number 3. Check for loose ball joints or torn ball joint boots. Number 4. Check the tire odd ends for damage or looseness. Number 5. Check the center link or rack bushings for play. Number 6. Check the pitman arm for any movement. Number 7. Check for run out of the wheels and the tires. Number 8. Check for vehicle ride height, should be level front to back as well as side to side. Make sure that the factory load leveling system is functioning correctly, if the vehicle is so equipped. Check height according to the manufacturer's specifications. See Figures 125-4 and 125-5. Note, manufacturers often have replacement springs or spring spacers that can be installed between the coil spring and the spring seat to restore proper ride level. Number 9. Check for steering gear looseness at the frame. Number 10. Check for improperly operating shock absorbers. Number 11. Check for worn control arm bushings, Number 12. Check for loose or missing stabilizer bar attachments. Number 13. Check the trunk for excess loads. And number 14. Check for dragging brakes. Note, checking for dragging brakes is usually performed when installing alignment heads to the wheels prior to taking an alignment reading. A brake dragging can cause the vehicle to pull or lead toward the side with the dragging brake. Refer to Figure 125-2. Magnetic bubble type camber caster gauge. To help it keep its strong magnetism, it is best to keep it stored stuck to a metal plate or metal toolbox. Refer to Figure 125-3. Typical tire wear chart as found in a service manual. Abnormal tire wear usually indicates a fault in a steering or suspension component that should be corrected or replaced before an alignment is performed. Refer to Figure 35-4. Measuring points for ride, trim, height vary by manufacturer. Refer to Figure 125-5. Measuring to be sure the left and right sides of the vehicle are of equal height. If this measurement is not equal side to side by as little as 1/8 of an inch, or 3 mm, it can affect the handling of the vehicle. Refer to Figure 125-6. The bulge in this tire was not noticed until it was removed from the vehicle as part of a routine brake inspection. After replacing this tire, the vehicle stopped pulling and vibrating. Lead pull. Diagnosis. Many alignment requests come from customers attempting to have a lead or pull condition corrected. Before aligning the vehicle, verify the customer complaint first, then perform a careful inspection. Number 1. Inspect all tires for proper inflation. Both tires on the same axle, front and rear, should be the same size and brand. A lead pull problem could be due to a defect or condition in one or more of the tires, as shown in Figure 125-6. Before attempting to correct the lead pull condition by changing alignment angles, try rotating the tires front to back or side to side. Number 2. Road test the vehicle on a straight, level road away from traffic, if possible. Bring the vehicle to about 40 miles per hour, or 65 kilometers per hour, shift into neutral, and feel for a pull in the steering, either to the left or to the right. A lead or drift is less severe than a pull, and may occur only if you momentarily remove your hands from the steering wheel while driving. Number 3. If the lead pull problem is sometimes toward the left and other times toward the right, check for a memory steer condition. If the lead/pull problem occurs during acceleration and deceleration, check for a torque steer condition. Memory steer. Diagnosis. Memory steer is a term used to describe the lead or pull of a vehicle caused by faults in the steering or suspension system. Often a defective upper strut bearing or steering gear can cause a pulling condition in one direction after making a turn in the same direction. It is as if the vehicle had a memory and pulled in the same direction. To test for memory steer, follow these simple steps during a test drive. Number 1. With the vehicle stopped at an intersection or in a parking area, turn the steering wheel completely to the left, stop, and then straighten the wheel without going past the straight ahead position. Number 2. Lightly accelerate the vehicle and note any tendency of the vehicle to lead or pull toward the left. And number 3. Repeat the procedure, turning the steering wheel to the right. If the vehicle first pulls to the left, then pulls to the right, the vehicle has a memory steer condition. Correction. A binding suspension or steering component is the most likely cause of memory steer. Disconnect each wheel from its tie rod end and check for free rotation of movement of each wheel. Each front wheel should rotate easily without binding or roughness. Repair or replace components as necessary to eliminate the binding condition. Note, one of the most common causes of memory steer is the installation of steering or suspension components while the front wheels are turned. Most steering and suspension parts contain rubber, which has a memory if moved from its installed position. If the memory steer condition is only in one direction, then this is the most likely cause. The rubber component exerts a force on the suspension or steering that causes the vehicle to pull toward the side that the wheels were turned toward when the part was installed. Torque steer. Diagnosis. Torque steer occurs in front-wheel drive vehicles when engine torque causes a front wheel to change its angle from straight ahead. See Figure 125-7. This resulting pulling effect is most noticeable during rapid acceleration, especially whenever upshifting of the transmission creates a sudden change in torque being applied to the front wheels. When turning and accelerating at the same time, torque steer has a tendency to straighten the vehicle, so more steering effort may be required to make the turn. Then, if the accelerator is released, a reversing force is applied to the front wheels. Now the driver must take corrective steering motions to counteract the change in steering effect of engine torque. Refer to Torque Steer Sequence of Events chart on page 1541. Most manufacturers try to reduce torque steer in the design of their vehicles by keeping drive axle angles low and equal side to side. If the engine and transaxle are level and the drive axle shafts are kept level, then the torque from the engine will be divided equally between the front wheels. Correction. The service technician cannot change the design of a vehicle, but the technician can, and should, check and correct problems that often cause torque steer. Check to be sure that the condition is not normal. It is normal for front-wheel drive vehicles to exert a tug on the steering wheel and steer toward one side, usually to the right, during acceleration. This is especially noticeable when the transmission shifts from first to second gear under heavy acceleration. To determine how severe the problem is, place a strip of masking tape at the top of the steering wheel. Drive the vehicle and observe the amount of movement required to steer the vehicle straight during heavy acceleration. Repeat the test with a vehicle of similar make and model. If the torque steer is excessive, determine and correct the cause by carefully following the pre-alignment inspection steps and checking for a level powertrain. A defective engine mount can cause the entire drivetrain to sag on one end. If the engine and transaxle of any front-wheel drive vehicle is not level, the drive axle shaft angles will not be equal, as shown in Figure 125-8. Hold a straight edge along the engine's supporting frame and measure up to points along the transaxle pan rail or the drive axle shaft. Side-to-side distances should be equal. Standard alignment shims can be used to shim the mounts and level the drivetrain. If torque steer is still excessive, check all alignment angles, including SAI and included angle. Unequal alignment angles can cause a pull or a lead condition. SAI and included angle should be within half of a degree side-to-side for best results. A vehicle will tend to pull toward the side with the least SAI. Case study. The five-wheel alignment. The steering wheel should always be straight when driving on a straight, level road. If the steering wheel is not straight, the customer will often think that the wheel alignment is not correct. One such customer complained that the vehicle pulled to the right while driving on a straight road. The service manager test drove the vehicle and everything was perfect, except that the steering wheel was not perfectly straight, even though the toe setting was correct. Whenever driving on a straight road, the customer would straighten the steering wheel and, of course, the vehicle went to one side. After adjusting toe with the steering wheel straight, the customer and the service manager were both satisfied. The technician learned that regardless of how accurate the alignment, the steering wheel must be straight. It is the fifth wheel that the customer notices most. Therefore, a five-wheel alignment rule includes a check of the steering wheel. Note: many vehicle manufacturers now include the maximum allowable steering wheel angle variation from straight. This specification is commonly, plus or minus 3 degrees, or less. The summary. The complaint: owner complained that the vehicle pulled to one side after an alignment. The cause: the steering wheel was not perfectly straight and when the driver straightened the wheel, it went to one side. The correction: the technician straightened the steering using the tie rod and ends while maintaining the specified toe setting. Refer to Figure 125-7. Equal outer CV joint angles produce equal steer torque, or toe-in. If one side receives more engine torque, that side creates more toe-in and the result is a pull toward one side, especially during acceleration. Figure 125-8: broken or defective engine or transaxle mounts can cause the powertrain to sag, causing unequal drive axle shaft CV joint angles. Alignment specifications. Before attempting any alignment, consider the following. Number 1. Determine the make, model, and year of the vehicle. Number 2. Determine if the vehicle is equipped with power steering or manual steering. Some older models use lower caster specifications for manual steering to reduce steering effort. Number 3. Check the trunk and with a customer to determine the normal load being carried. Sometimes customers take out heavy things they normally carry or have something in the vehicle now that they normally do not carry. Number 4. Determine the correct specifications. If possible, check the specifications from two different sources to ensure correct readings. Number 5. Compensate for the lack of a full gas tank by placing an equal amount of weight in the luggage compartment. Gasoline weighs 6 pounds per gallon. A 20-gallon gas tank, when full, weighs 120 pounds. Number 6. Determine the correct specifications for the exact vehicle being checked. Note: some alignment specifications are published as guidelines for acceptable values for state or local vehicle inspections. Be sure to use the service or set to specifications. Tech tip: keep the doors closed, but the window down. An experienced alignment technician became upset when a beginning technician opened the driver's door to lock the steering wheel in a straight-ahead position on the vehicle being aligned. The weight of the open door caused the vehicle to sag. This disturbed the leveled position of the vehicle and changed all the alignment angles. The beginning technician learned an important lesson that day: keep the window down on the driver's door so that the steering wheel and brakes can be locked without disturbing the vehicle weight balance by opening a door. The brake pedal must be locked with a pedal depressor to prevent the wheels from rolling as the wheels are turned during a caster sweep. The steering must be locked in the straight-ahead position when adjusting toe. Reading alignment specifications. There are several methods used by vehicle manufacturers and alignment equipment manufacturers to specify alignment angles. Refer to Figure 125-9. This alignment chart indicates the preferred setting with a plus or minus tolerance. Conversion chart for switching from fractional inches to decimal degrees or minutes and seconds. Maximum minimum preferred method. This method indicates the preferred setting for each alignment angle and the minimum and maximum allowable value for each. The alignment technician should always attempt to align the vehicle to the preferred setting. Plus or minus method. This method indicates the preferred setting with the lowest and highest allowable value indicated by a negative and positive sign, as in Figure 125-9. For example, if a camber reading is specified as half of a degree with a positive and value of half of a degree, it could be written as positive half of a degree, positive or negative half degree. The minimum value would be 0 degrees, half a degree minus half a degree equals 0 degrees, and the maximum value would be positive 1 degree, half a degree plus half a degree equals 1 degree. The range would be from 0 to 1 degree. Note, the angle is assumed positive unless labeled with a negative sign in front of the number. Degrees, minutes, and fractions. Specifications are often published in fractional or decimal degrees, or in degrees and minutes. There are 60 minutes, written as 60, in 1 degree. See Chart 125-1. To help visualize the amount of these various units, think of decimal degrees as representing money or cents. 100 cents equals $1. 0.75 equals 75 cents, or 0.75 cents. Minutes can be visualized as minutes in an hour. 60 equals 1 hour. 45 minutes equals 0.75 hours. Now, which is larger, 35 minutes or 0.40 degrees? The larger angle is 35 minutes because this is slightly greater than half of a degree, whereas 0.40 minutes is less than half of a degree. Finding the midpoint of specifications. Many manufacturers specify alignment angles within a range. If you are using equipment that requires a midpoint to be entered, use the following method to determine easily the midpoint of specifications. Refer to step-by-step calculations on page 1543. Note, since the lower specification is a negative number, we had to add the 0.5 of a degree to bring the lower range of the specification to zero. Then the total is simply the upper range specification added to the number required to bring the lower end of the range to zero. Refer to Figure 125-10. Using the alignment rack hydraulic jacks, raise the tires off the rack so that they can be rotated as part of the compensating process. Alignment setup procedures. After confirming that the tires and all steering and suspension components are serviceable, the vehicle is ready for an alignment. Setup procedures for the equipment being used must always be followed. Typical alignment procedures include the following. Step 1. Drive onto the alignment rack straight and adjust the ramps and or turn plates so that they are centered under the tires of the vehicle. See Figure 125-10. Step 2. Use chocks for the wheels to keep the vehicle from rolling off the alignment rack. Step 3. Attach and calibrate the wheel sensors to each wheel, as specified by the alignment equipment manufacturer. See Figure 125-11. The calibration procedure is required whenever the head of the machine is attached to the wheel of the vehicle. All alignment angles and measurements are taken from the readings of the wheel sensors. Calibration of these wheel sensors is needed for two reasons. A. The wheel may be bent. If the wheel, rim, is bent, even slightly, this small amount of tilt would be read as an angle of the suspension. Note, compensating or calibrating the wheel sensor for a bent wheel does not correct, or repair, the bent wheel. The bent wheel is still present and can result in a shimmy-type vibration. B. The sensors may not be identically installed on the wheel. Most sensors use 3 or 4 wheel mounting locations. It is not possible to install all wheel sensors perfectly at the same depth on the wheel in all locations. If a sensor must be removed during the alignment process and reinstalled, it should be recalibrated. Always follow the manufacturer's recommended procedure for compensating the sensors. Step 4. Unlock all rack or turn plates. Step 5. Lower the vehicle and jounce the vehicle by pushing down on the front, then rear, bumper. This motion allows the suspension to become centered. Step 6. Following the procedures for the alignment equipment, determine all alignment angles. Refer to Figure 125-11. An optical type wheel sensor. Compensation is achieved by simply rolling the vehicle backward and forward. Measuring camber, caster, SAI, toe, and TOOT. Camber. Camber is measured with the wheels in the straight-ahead position on a level platform. Since camber is a vertical reference angle, alignment equipment reads camber directly. Caster. Caster is measured by moving the front wheels through an arc inward, then outward, from straight ahead. This necessary movement of the front wheels to measure caster is called caster sweep. What the alignment measuring equipment is actually doing is measuring the camber at one wheel sweep and measuring the camber again at the other extreme of the caster sweep. The caster angle itself is the difference between the two camber readings. SAI steering axis inclination, abbreviated SAI, is also measured by performing a caster sweep of the front wheels. While this angle can be read at the same time as caster on many alignment machines, most experts recommend that SAI be measured separately from the caster reading. When measuring SAI separately, the usual procedure involves raising the front wheels off the ground and leveling and locking the wheel sensors before performing a caster sweep. The reason for raising the front wheels is to allow the front suspension to extend to its full droop position. When the suspension is extended, the SAI is more accurately determined because the angle itself is expanded. Toe. Toe is determined by measuring the angle of both front and both rear wheels from the straight ahead, or 0 degree, position. Most alignment equipment reads the toe angle for each wheel and the combined toe angle of both wheels on the same axle. This combined toe is called total toe. Toe angle is more accurate than the center-to-center distance, especially if oversized tires are installed on the vehicle. See Figure 125-12. TOOT, toe out on turns, abbreviated TOOT, is a diagnostic angle and is normally not measured as part of a regular alignment, but it is recommended to be performed as part of a total alignment check. TOOT is measured by recording the angle of the front wheels as indicated on the alignment machine display or on the front turn plates. See Figure 125-13. If, for example, the inside wheel is turned 20 degrees, then the outside wheel should indicate about 18 degrees on the turn plate. The exact angles are usually specified by the vehicle manufacturer. The turning angle should be checked only after the toe is correctly set. The turning angle for the wheel on the outside of the turn should not vary more than 1.5 degrees from specifications. For example, if the specification calls for the right wheel to be steered to the turn 20 degrees, the outside wheel should measure 18 degrees. This measurement should be within 1.5 degrees, or 16.5 to 19.5 degrees. If the TOOT is not correct, a bent steering arm is the usual cause. If TOOT is not correct, tire squealing noise is usually noticed while cornering and excessive tire wear may occur. Note: some front-wheel drive vehicles use a non-symmetrical, or unequal, turning angle design. This design is found on various makes and models of vehicles to assist in controlling torque steer. The test procedure is the same except that the turning angle specifications include left wheel and right wheel angles when turned inward and outward and may be different readings without indicating a problem. Refer to Figure 125-12. If toe for an oversized tire is set by distance, the toe angle will be too small. Toe angle is the same regardless of tire size. Refer to Figure 125-13. The protractor scale on the front turn plates allows the technician to test the turning radius by turning one wheel to an angle specified by the manufacturer and observing the angle of the other front wheel. Most newer alignment machines can display turning angle based on sensor readings, and therefore the protractor scale on the turn plate is not needed or used. Specifications versus alignment readings. Secure both the alignment specifications from the manufacturer and the alignment readings and compare the two. Before starting an alignment, the smart technician checks the SAI, included angle, setback, and toe out on turns to make sure that there is no hidden damage such as a bent spindle or strut that was not found during the pre-alignment inspection. Setback is also a diagnostic angle and should be less than 0.5 of an inch, or 13 centimeters, or half of a degree. If setback is greater than 0.5 of an inch, or 13 centimeters, or half of a degree, Check the body, frame, and cradle for accident damage or improper alignment. Note, if the SAI, or included angle are unequal, suggesting a possible problem such as a bent strut, check the front and rear toe readings. Some alignment equipment cannot show accurate SAI readings if the front or rear toe readings are not within specifications. If the front and rear toe readings are okay and the alignment readings indicate a bent strut, go ahead with the diagnosis and correction as explained later in this chapter. Checking for bent struts, spindles, or control arms. Even a minor bump against a curb can bend a spindle or a strut housing. Before attempting to correct an alignment, check all the angles and use the appropriate diagnostic chart to check for hidden damage that a visual inspection may miss. The chart in Figure 125-14 can be used to determine what is wrong if the alignment angles are known. Simply use the chart that correctly identifies the type of suspension on the problem vehicle. The terms used regarding the specifications in Figure 35-14 include: refer to chart on page 1545. Refer to Figure 125-14. By checking the SAI, camber, and included angle, a damaged suspension component can be determined by using this chart. Checking frame alignment of front-wheel drive vehicles. Many front-wheel drive vehicles mount the drivetrain, engine and transaxle, and lower suspension arms to a subframe or cradle. If the frame is shifted either left or right, this can cause differences in SAI. Included angle, setback, and camber. See Figures 125-15 and 125-16. Adjust the frame if SAI and camber angles are different. Left and right side, yet the included angles are equal. Tech tip. To check if a vehicle has been in a collision, technicians should look for the following. Number 1. Drive the vehicle through a water puddle to see if the tire marks are wider than the tires. If they are, then the front and rear wheels are not tracking correctly. Number 2. If the setback is out of specifications, then the front of the vehicle may be damaged. And number 3. If the thrust angle is out of specifications, then rear suspension damage is likely. Refer to Figure 125-15. In this example, both SAI and camber are far from being equal side to side. However, both sides have the same included angle, indicating that the frame may be out of alignment. An attempt to align this vehicle by adjusting the camber on both sides with either factory or aftermarket kits would result in a totally incorrect alignment. Refer to Figure 125-16. This is the same vehicle as shown in Figure 35-15, except now the frame, cradle, has been shifted over and correctly positioned. Notice how both the SAI and camber become equal without any other adjustments necessary. Types of alignments. There are three types of alignment: geometric centerline, thrust line, and four-wheel alignment. Geometric centerline. Until the 1980s, most wheel alignment concerned only the front wheels. Vehicles, such as sports cars, that had independent rear suspensions were often aligned by backing the vehicle onto the alignment rack and adjusting the rear camber and or toe. This type of alignment is simply an alignment that uses the geometric centerline of the vehicle as the basis for all measurements of toe, front or rear. See Figure 125-17. This method is now considered to be obsolete. Refer to Figure 125-17. Geometric centerline type alignment sets the front toe readings based on the geometric centerline of the vehicle and does not consider the thrust line of the rear wheel toe angles. Thrust line. A thrust line alignment uses the thrust angle of the rear wheels and sets the front wheels parallel to the thrust line. See Figure 125-18. The thrust line is the bisector of rear total toe, or the actual direction in which the rear wheels are pointed. The rear wheels of any vehicle should be pointing parallel to the geometric centerline of the vehicle. However, if the rear toe angles of the rear wheels do not total exactly zero, perfectly in a line with the centerline of the vehicle, a thrust condition exists. The front wheels will automatically steer to become parallel to that condition. A crooked steering wheel may also result from an improper thrust condition. Note: it has often been said that while the front wheels steer the vehicle, the rear wheels determine the direction in which the vehicle will travel. Think of the rear wheels as a rudder on a boat. If the rudder is turned, the direction of the boat changes due to the angle change at the rear of the boat. Thrust line alignment is required for any vehicle with a non-adjustable rear suspension. If a vehicle has an adjustable rear suspension, then a four-wheel alignment is necessary to ensure proper tracking. Four-wheel alignment. A four-wheel alignment is the most accurate alignment method and is necessary to ensure maximum tire wear and vehicle handling. The biggest difference between a thrust line alignment and a four-wheel alignment is that the rear toe is adjusted to bring the thrust line to zero. In other words, the rear toe on both rear wheels is adjusted equally so that the actual direction in which the rear wheels are pointed is the same as the geometric center line of the vehicle. See Figure 125-19. The procedure for a four-wheel alignment includes these steps. Number 1. Adjust the rear camber, if applicable. Number 2. Adjust the rear toe, this should reduce the thrust angle to near zero. Number 3. Adjust the front camber and caster. And Number 4. Adjust the front toe, being sure that the steering wheel is in the straight ahead position. Refer to Figure 125-18. Thrust line alignment sets the front toe parallel with the rear wheel toe. Refer to Figure 125-19. Four-wheel alignment corrects for any rear wheel toe to make the thrust line and the geometric center line of the vehicle both the same. Tech tip. Ask yourself these three questions. An older technician told a beginning technician that the key to success in doing a proper alignment is to ask yourself three questions about the alignment angles. Question 1. Is it within specifications? For example, if the specification reads 1 degree positive negative half a degree, any reading between positive half a degree and 1.5 degrees is within specifications. All vehicles should be aligned within this range. Individual opinions and experience can assist the technician as to whether the actual setting should be at one extreme or the other or held to the center of the specification range. Question 2. Is it within half a degree of the other side of the vehicle? Not only should the alignment be within specifications, but it should also be as equal as possible from one side to the other. The difference between the camber from one side to the other side is called cross camber. Cross caster is the difference between the caster angle from one side to another. Some manufacturers and technicians recommend that this side-to-side difference be limited to just 1/4 of a degree. Question 3. If the camber and caster cannot be exactly equal side-to-side in the front, is there more camber on the left and more caster on the right to help compensate for road crown? Seldom, if ever, are the alignment angles perfectly equal. Sometimes one side of the vehicle is more difficult to adjust than the other side. Regardless of the reasons, if there has to be a difference in front camber and or caster angle, follow this advice to avoid a possible lead or drift problem even if the answers to the first two questions are yes. Sample alignment specifications and readings. The service technician must know not only all of the alignment angles but also the interrelationship that exists among the angles. As an aid toward understanding these relationships, two examples are presented. Example 1 gives the front wheel angles that are acceptable when compared with the specifications. Example 2 gives four-wheel alignment and readings of a vehicle that are not within specifications. Refer to alignment examples 1 and 2 on pages 1548 through 1549. Frequently asked question. How does normal wear affect the alignment angles? As a vehicle ages, the spring sag and steering and suspension components wear. When springs sag, the ride height changes and the camber usually is reduced and often becomes negative compared to slightly positive when the vehicle was new in most cases. When tire rod ends and other steering components wear, the front wheels tend to toe out. Worn suspension components can cause excessive play, making the vehicle unstable and cause the tires to wear abnormally. Alignment alone cannot take the place of worn parts. All an alignment can do is try to compensate for the worn parts. Toe is the most common angle that needs to be adjusted because anywhere in the steering or suspension systems affect the toe. Adjusting rear camber. Adjusting rear camber is the first step in the four-wheel alignment process. Rear camber is rarely made adjustable, but can be corrected by using aftermarket alignment kits or shims. If rear camber is not correct, vehicle handling and tire life are affected. Before attempting to adjust or correct rear camber, carefully check the body and or frame of the vehicle for accident damage, including the following. Number 1. Weak springs, torsion bars, or overloading, check ride height. Number 2. Bowed rear axle, trailing arm, or rear control arm. Number 3. Suspension mount or body dimension not in proper location. And Number 4. Incorrectly adjusted camber from a previous repair. The cause of the incorrect rear camber could be accident-related and the body or frame may have to be pulled into correct position. See Figures 125-20 through 125-22 for examples of various methods used to adjust rear camber. Using plastic or metal alignment shims. Using plastic or metal alignment shims to correct angles in the rear of the vehicle is relatively simple and includes the following steps. Number 1. Take alignment readings and determine the change needed. Number 2. Select proper shims using the easy-to-read chart. Number 3. Using the template provided, mark and remove tabs to create a proper mounting bolt pattern. And Number 4. Install shim. Refer to Figure 125-20. The rear camber is adjustable on this vehicle by rotating the eccentric cam and watching the alignment machine display. Refer to Figure 125-21. Some vehicles use a threaded fastener similar to a tie rod to adjust camber on the rear suspension. Tech tip: the gritty solution. Many times it is difficult to loosen a Torx bolt, especially those used to hold the backing plate onto the rear axle on many GM vehicles. See Figure 125-23. A technique that always seems to work is to place some valve grinding compound on the fastener. The gritty compound keeps the Torx socket from slipping up and out of the fastener, and more force can be exerted to break loose a tight bolt. Valve grinding compound can also be used on Phillips head screws as well as other types of bolts, nuts, and sockets. Adjusting rear toe. Many vehicle manufacturers provide adjustment for rear toe on vehicles that use an independent rear suspension. Rear toe adjusts the thrust angle. A thrust angle that exceeds half degree, 0.5 degree, on a vehicle with a solid axle is an indication that a component may be damaged or out of place in the rear of the vehicle. Rear toe is often adjusted using an adjustable tie rod and/or an eccentric cam on the lower control arm. Check a service manual for the exact method for the vehicle being aligned. Most solid rear axles do not have a method to adjust rear toe except for aftermarket shims or kits. See Figures 125-24 through 125-26. Note: on vehicles equipped with four-wheel steering, refer to the service manual for the exact procedure to follow to lock or hold the rear wheels in position for a proper alignment check. Refer to Figure 125-22. Aftermarket alignment parts or kits are available to change the rear camber. Guidelines for adjusting front camber, SAI, and included angle. If the camber is adjusted at the base of the McPherson strut, camber and included angle are changed and SAI remains the same. See Figure 125-27. If camber is adjusted by moving the upper strut mounting location, included angle remains the same, but SAI and camber change. See Figure 125-28. This is the reason to use the factory alignment methods before using an aftermarket alignment adjustment kit. SAI and included angle should be within half of a degree side to side. If these angles differ, check the frame mount location before attempting to correct differences in camber. As the frame is changed, camber and SAI change, but the included angle remains the same. Cross camber caster is the difference between the camber or caster on one side of the vehicle and the camber or caster on the other side of the vehicle. Refer to alignment angle and recommended maximum variation chart on page 1552. Caution: do not attempt to correct a pull condition by increasing cross camber or cross caster beyond the amount specified by the vehicle manufacturer. Refer to Figure 125-23. Full contact plastic or metal shims can be placed between the axle housing and the brake backing plate to change rear camber, toe, or both. Refer to Figure 125-24. The rear toe is easily set on this vehicle. The adjusting nuts were easy to get to and turn. Adjusting rear toe is not this easy on every vehicle. Refer to Figure 125-25. By moving various rear suspension members, the rear toe can be changed. Refer to Figure 125-26. The use of these plastic or metal shims requires that the rear wheel as well as the hub assembly and/or backing plate be removed. Proper torque during reassembly is critical to avoid damage to the shims. Refer to Figure 125-27. Many struts allow camber adjustment at the strut to knuckle fasteners. Here a special tool is being used to hold and move the strut into alignment with the fasteners loosened. Once the desired camber angle is achieved, the strut nuts are tightened and the tool is removed. Figure 125-28. Some struts require modification of the upper mount for caster adjustment, as shown, or side to side to change camber. Front camber, caster adjustment methods. Many vehicles are constructed with only limited camber caster factory adjustment. See Figure 125-29 for a summary of which adjustments are generally possible for various types of vehicles and suspension systems. Caution: most vehicle manufacturers warn technicians not to adjust camber by bending the strut assembly. Even though several equipment manufacturers make tools that are designed to bend the strut, most experts agree that it can cause harm to the strut itself. Adjusting front camber caster. Most SLA-type suspensions can be adjusted for caster and camber. Most manufacturers recommend adjusting caster, then camber, before adjusting the toe. As the caster is changed, such as when the strut rod is adjusted as shown in Figure 125-30, the camber and toe also change. If the camber is then adjusted, the caster is unaffected. Many technicians adjust caster and camber at the same time using shims, figures 125-31, and 125-32, slots, figure 125-33, or eccentric cams, figure 125-34. Regardless of the methods or procedures used, toe is always adjusted after all the angles are set because caster and camber both affect the toe. Always follow the manufacturer's recommended alignment procedure. Setting toe. Front toe is the last angle that should be adjusted and is the most likely to need correction. This has led to many sayings in the alignment field. Set the toe and let it go. Do a toe and go. Set the toe and collect the toe. As wear occurs at each steering joint such as tie rod ends, the forces exerted on the linkage by the tire tend to cause a toe-out condition. Front-wheel drive abbreviated, FWD vehicles transmit engine power through the front wheels. Many manufacturers of FWD vehicles specify a toe-out setting. This toe-out setting helps compensate for the slight tone effect of the engine torque being transferred through the front wheels. Most newer alignment equipment displays in degrees of toe instead of inches of toe. See the toe unit conversion chart. Just remember that positive toe means toe in and negative toe means toe out. To make sure the steering wheel is straight after setting toe, it must be locked in the straight ahead position while the toe is being adjusted. Another term used to describe steering wheel position is spoke angle. To lock the steering wheel, always use a steering wheel lock that presses against the seat and the outer rim of a steering wheel. Do not use the locking feature of the steering column to hold the steering wheel straight. Always unlock the steering column, straighten the steering wheel, and install the steering wheel lock. See figures 125-35 through 125-37. Note, the engine must be started and the steering wheel straightened with the engine running to be assured of a straight steering wheel. Lock the steering wheel with the steering lock tool before stopping the engine. After straightening the steering wheel, turn the tie rod adjustment until the toe for both wheels is within specifications. See figure 125-38. Test drive the vehicle for proper handling and centerline steering. Centerline steering is a centered steering wheel with the vehicle traveling a straight course. Refer to figure 125-29. An example of the many methods that are commonly used to adjust front caster and camber. Refer to figure 125-30. If there is a nut on both sides of the strut rod bushing, then the length of the rod can be adjusted to change caster. Refer to toe unit conversions chart on page 1553. Refer to figure 125-31. Placing shims between the frame and the upper control arm pivot shaft is a popular method of alignment for many SLA suspensions. Both camber and caster can be easily changed by adding or removing shims. Refer to figure 125-32. The general rule of thumb is that a 1/8 of an inch shim added or removed from both shim locations changes the camber angle about half degree. Adding or removing a 1/8 of an inch shim from one shim location changes the caster by about 1/4 of a degree. Refer to figure 125-33. Some SLA-type suspensions use slotted holes for alignment angle adjustments. When the pivot shaft bolts are loosened, the pivot shaft is free to move unless held by special clamps as shown. By turning the threaded portion of the clamps, the camber and caster can be set and checked before tightening the pivot shaft bolts. Refer to figure 125-34. When the nut is loosened and the bolt on the eccentric cam is rotated, the upper control arm moves in and out. By adjusting both eccentric cams, both camber and caster can be adjusted. Refer to figure 125-35. Many procedures for setting toe specify that the steering will be held in the straight-ahead position using a steering wheel lock, as shown. One method recommended by Hunter Engineering sets toe without using a steering wheel lock. Refer to figure 125-36. Adjusting toe by rotating the tire rod on a vehicle equipped with rack and pinion steering. Tech tip. Autocross vehicle alignment. Vehicles used in autocrossing, individual timed runs through cones in a parking lot, or road racing usually perform best if the following alignment steps are followed. Number 1. Increase caster. Not only will the caster provide a good solid feel for the driver during high speed on a straight section of the course, but it will also provide some lean into the corners due to the camber change during cornering. A setting of 5 to 9 degrees positive caster is typical depending on the type of vehicle and the type of course. Number 2. Adjust for 1 to 2 degrees of negative camber. As a race vehicle corners, the body and chassis lean. As the chassis leans, the top of the tire also leans outward. By setting the camber to 1 to 2 degrees negative, the tires will be neutral while cornering, thereby having as much rubber contacting the road as possible. Number 3. Set toe to a slight toe out position. When the front toe is set negative, toe out, the vehicle is more responsive to steering commands from the driver. With a slight toe out setting, one wheel is already pointed in the direction of a corner or curve. Set the toe out to negative 3/8 to negative 1/2 degree depending on the type of vehicle and the type of race course. Note, though setting negative camber on a street-driven vehicle will decrease tire life, the negative setting on a race vehicle is used to increase cornering speeds, and tire life is not a primary consideration. Refer to Figure 125-37. Toe is adjusted on a parallelogram type steering linkage by turning adjustable tie rod. Sleeves. Special tie rod sleeve adjusting tools should be used that grip the slot in the sleeve and will not crush the sleeve while it is being rotated. Refer to Figure 125-38. Special tie rod adjusting tools should be used to rotate the tie rod adjusting sleeves. The tool grips the slot in the sleeve and allows the service technician to rotate the sleeve without squeezing or damaging the sleeve. Centering the steering wheel. Centerline steering should be accomplished by adjusting the tie rod length on both sides of the vehicle while the toe is set. Caution: do not attempt to straighten the steering wheel by relocating the wheel on the steering column on a vehicle with two tie rod end adjusters. The steering wheel is positioned at the factory in the center of the steering gear, regardless of type. If the steering wheel is not in the center, then the variable ratio section of the gear will not be in the center as it is designed. Another possible problem with moving the steering wheel from its designed straight-ahead position is that the turning radius may be different for right and left-hand turns. Tolerance adjustment procedure. Many vehicles are designed and built without a method to change caster or camber, or both. All vehicles have an adjustment for toe. Before trying an aftermarket alignment correction kit, many technicians first attempt to correct the problem by moving the suspension attachment points within the build tolerance. All vehicles are constructed with a slight amount of leeway or tolerance. Slight corrections can be made because bolt holes are almost always slightly larger than the bolt diameter, allowing for slight movement. When several fasteners are involved, such as where the powertrain cradle, or subframe, attaches to the body of the front-wheel drive vehicle, a measurable amount of alignment change, often over 1/2 degree, can be accomplished without special tools or alignment kits. The steps for tolerance adjustment include the following. Step 1. Determine which way the suspension members have to be moved to accomplish the desired alignment. For example, the right front may require more positive camber to correct a pulling or tire wear problem. Step 2. Locate and loosen the cradle, subframe, bolts about 4 turns each. Do not remove any of the bolts. Step 3. Using pry bars, move the cradle in the direction that will result in an improvement of the alignment angles. Have an assistant tighten the bolts as pressure is maintained on the cradle. Step 4. Measure the alignment angles and repeat the procedure if necessary. Aftermarket alignment methods. Accurate alignments are still possible on vehicles without factory methods of adjustment by using alignment kits or parts. Aftermarket alignment kits are available for most vehicles. Even when there are factory alignment methods, sometimes the range of adjustment is not enough to compensate for sagging frame members or other normal or accident-related faults. See Figures 125-40 and 125-41. Case study. Left thrust line, but a pull to the right. A new four-door sports sedan had been aligned several times at the dealership in an attempt to solve a pull to the right. The car had front-wheel drive and four-wheel independent suspension. The dealer rotated the tires, and it made no difference. The alignment angles of all four wheels were in the center of specifications. The dealer even switched all four tires from another car in an attempt to solve the problem. In frustration, the owner took the car to an alignment shop. Almost immediately, the alignment technician discovered that the right rear wheel was slightly towed in. This caused a pull to the right. See Figure 125-41. The alignment technician adjusted the toe on the right rear wheel and reset the front toe. The car drove beautifully. The owner was puzzled about why the new car dealer was unable to correct the problem. It was later discovered that the alignment machine at the dealership was out of calibration by the exact amount that the right rear wheel was out of specification. The car pulled to the right because the independent suspension created a rear steering force toward the left that caused the front to pull to the right. Alignment equipment manufacturers recommend that alignment equipment be calibrated regularly. The summary. The complaint: owner complained that the vehicle pulled to the right after an alignment. The cause: the rear toe on the right was towed in and out of specification. The correction: the technician adjusted the rear toe on the right rear to factory specifications. Refer to figure 125-39. The toe in on the right wheel creates a turning force toward the right. Refer to figure 125-40. An aftermarket camber shim can be added to change the front camber on this Honda. Aligning electronic suspension vehicles. When aligning a vehicle equipped with an electronic suspension, several additional steps may be required. Always check service information and read carefully all on-screen instructions on the alignment machine. Some examples of the steps that may be needed include: verify the exact type of electronic suspension. This step could include checking the regular production order abbreviated RPO code. Check that the ride height, or suspension height, is within factory specifications. The steering wheel angle, as well as the radar cruise control sensor, will often need to be recalibrated using a scan tool. This is needed because the steering wheel may be in a different position after the alignment, and the steering wheel position sensor needs to be reset because the rear toe setting was changed. The rear thrust line could also have been changed. The radar cruise control needs to be calibrated to the revised rear thrust angle using a scan tool. Refer to figure 125-41. An aftermarket kit for this Ford is installed at the top of the strut tower and allows more camber and caster adjustment than is possible with the factory adjustment. Aligning modified vehicles. Alignment concerns. If different springs were installed, which in turn changes the suspension height, or if larger or smaller wheels and tires were installed, many alignment shops would reject doing an alignment. If a shop attempted to align a vehicle, handling and tire wear problems were common. Because the ride height is changed from stock factory setting, the following can occur. Number 1. The steering axis inclination is now incorrect. Number 2. Because the steering linkage and the control arms are no longer parallel, bump steer can occur. Bump steer causes the vehicle to dart to one side when a wheel hits a bump. And number 3. Because the ride height changed, camber and toe also changed. The camber changes often enough to prevent it from being able to be adjusted to within specifications. Aftermarket kits. Alignment alone will not correct these concerns. To allow for proper handling, the following aftermarket kits and parts are available. Camber kits. These kits usually include a replacement control arm or offset cam, which provides additional camber adjustment. Bump steer kits. A bump steer kit can include a modified steering arm or rack and pinion steering gear repositioning components. The kits available can be found listed on the alignment screen of many newer alignment machines, such as the Hunter Engineering Company's WinAlign Tuner Custom Alignment for modified vehicles. During part of this alignment, the technician has to select one of two options: maximum tire wear and maximum handling. Therefore, the technician has to determine from the customer which of these two parameters are most important. After the alignment, the instructions often state that the vehicle should be driven and then the temperature of the tires measured and recorded. Using a tire pyrometer, be sure to measure the temperature of each tire at the following locations for each tire: approximately 1.5 inches, or 38 millimeters, from the outside edge of the tire in the tread rubber; in the middle of the tread, approximately 1.5 inches, or 38 millimeters, from the inside edge of the tire in the tread rubber. The temperatures are then typed into the alignment machine, and the program calculates the final alignment settings. See figure 125-42. Refer to chart 125-2. Tire temperatures and possible cause. Tech tip: tire temperature diagnosis. The temperature of tire should be performed after the vehicle has been driven and for about 10 miles, or 16 kilometers, and over a variety of driving conditions such as driving straight ahead as well as cornering. After completing the test drive, measure all four tires each in the center of the tread as well as both outside edges. Compare the temperatures to the following chart to see if an alignment angle or inflation pressure may need to be changed. See chart 125-2. Hidden structural damage diagnosis. Many accidents result in hidden structural damage that can cause alignment angles to be out of specification. If alignment angles are out of specification tolerances, then accident damage should be suspected. Look for evidence of newly replaced suspension parts, bodywork, or repainted areas of the body. While a body and/or frame of a vehicle can be straightened, it must be done by a knowledgeable person using body measuring equipment. The first thing that must be done is to determine a datum plane. Datum means a basis on which other measurements can be based. The datum plane is the horizontal plane. However, most alignment technicians do not have access to body frame alignment equipment. The service technician can use a common steel rule to measure several points of the vehicle to determine if the vehicle is or is not damaged or needs to be sent to a frame shop for repair. Refer to Figure 125-42. A typical tire temperature pyrometer. The probe used is a needle that penetrates about 1/4 inch, or 7 mm, into the tread of the tire for most accurate readings. Tech tip. TSBs can save time. Technical Service Bulletins, abbreviated TSBs, are issued by vehicle and aftermarket manufacturers to inform technicians of a situation or technical problem and give the corrective steps and a list of parts needed to solve the problem. TSBs are often released by new vehicle manufacturers to the dealership service department. They usually concern the current year vehicle of a particular model. While many of these TSBs concern minor problems covering few vehicles, others contain very helpful solutions to hard-to-find problems. Most TSBs can be purchased directly from the manufacturer, but the cost is usually very high. TSBs can also be purchased through aftermarket companies that are licensed and available on a website. Go to the National Automotive Service Task Force, abbreviated NASDF, website for a list of the web addresses for all vehicle manufacturer sites where TSBs can be purchased directly. Factory TSBs can often save the technician many hours of troubleshooting. Refer to Figure 125-43. Jig holes used at the assembly plant to locate suspension and drivetrain components. Check service information for the exact place to measure and the specified dimensions when checking for body or frame damage. Frame body diagonals. If the frame or body is perfectly square, then the diagonal measurements should be within 1/8 inch, or 3 mm, of each other. See Figure 125-43. While there are specified measurement points indicated by the manufacturer, the diagonal measurements can be made from almost any point that is repeated exactly on the other side, such as the center of a bolt and the suspension mounting bracket. Reset steering angle sensor, abbreviated SAS. Purpose. The steering angle sensor is usually located at the base of the steering column inside the vehicle and monitors the driver's steering input from straight ahead. It also monitors how fast the driver is turning the wheel and reports this information to body control module in most applications. The steering angle sensor is an input to the following systems. The electronic stability control system. The electronic power steering. The variable rate steering system. The anti-lock brake system. The lane departure warning system. And the parking assist system. Analog steering angle sensor. An analog steering angle sensor is similar to a throttle position sensor with a 3-wire connector. 5-volt reference. Chassis ground. And signal output. As the steering wheel is turned, the SAS produces a signal that varies between 0 and 5 volts as the wheel is turned 360 degrees. Most vehicles produce a positive voltage turning right and a negative voltage turning left. See Figure 125-44. Refer to Figure 125-44. A typical analog type steering angle sensor that uses a variable voltage as the steering wheel is rotated. Refer to Figure 125-45. The output of a typical digital steering angle sensor. Digital steering angle sensor. A digital SAS often uses LED light and a notched wheel that acts as a shutter with an optic sensor that measures the on and off segments of the light. These sensors produce a digital square wave signal with a frequency or pattern depending on the speed and direction the wheel is turning. See Figure 125-45. Resetting steering angle sensors. Many vehicles require the SAS be reset or recalibrated after an alignment is performed or parts in the steering system are replaced. There are two basic types of reset procedures, including: Number 1. Self-calibration. Some newer vehicles can self-calibrate by having the wheel turned from lock to lock and then centered and cycling the key, or when they are driven straight on a level road for a certain amount of time. Number 2. Scan tool calibration. Many systems require recalibration using a scan tool or a special tester that plugs into the data link connector. Check service information for the exact procedure to follow for the vehicle being aligned and serviced. The following chart lists common alignment problems and their probable causes. Refer to Alignment Guide chart on page 1560. Alignment. Step by step. Step 1. Begin the alignment procedure by first driving the vehicle onto the alignment rack as straight as possible. Step 2. Stop just short of the turn plate and position the plate to center it on the tire tread. Step 3. Check and adjust tire pressures and perform the pre-alignment. Checks necessary to be assured of proper alignment. Step 4. Securely mount the targets or alignment heads. Step 5. Select the exact vehicle on the aligner. The aligner may have a barcode reader to enter the vehicle VIN. Step 6. On this vehicle, a message is displayed concerning the electric power steering. Step 7. This aligner uses a roll forward compensation method. Step 8. An alignment reading is displayed even though caster has not yet been measured. The readings marked in red indicate that they are not within specifications. Step 9. Before performing a caster sweep, install a brake pedal depressor to keep the front wheels from rotating when the steering wheel is turned. Step 10. Perform the caster sweep by turning the front wheels inward, and then outward following the instructions on the screen. Step 11. Most alignment machines will display where to make the alignment correction and will often include drawings and live-action videos that show the procedure. Step 12. The rear toe is being adjusted by rotating the eccentric cam on the lower control arm while watching the display. Step 13. The alignment machine display indicates that front caster is not a factory adjustable angle. Step 14. Adjusting the front toe on this vehicle involves loosening the jam nut, left wrench, and rotating the tire rod using the right wrench. Step 15. An adjustment of the right front toe is needed to achieve a perfect alignment. Step 16. A final step is needed for vehicles equipped with a steering angle sensor and/or electric power steering. The wireless reset tool is attached to the data connector. Step 17. With the wheel straight ahead, the sensor shows an incorrect reading. And Step 18. Follow the instructions on the screen to reset the electric power steering sensors. The final alignment readings can be printed and attached to the work order. Review questions. Question 1. What are the 10 pre-alignment checks that should be performed before the wheel alignment is checked and/or adjusted? Question 2. What is the difference between a lead, or drift, and a pull? Question 3. What are the causes and possible corrections for torque steer? Question 4. What are the causes and possible corrections for memory steer? Question 5. What are the necessary steps to follow for a four-wheel alignment? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Which of the following would not be included in a pre-alignment check? A. Ride height. B. Tire size and inflation. C. Number of turns of the steering wheel lock to lock. D. Excessive load and trunk. Question 2. Technician says that if a pull occurs sometime to the left and sometimes to the right, this is called memory steer. Technician. B says that if a vehicle pulls to one side only during acceleration, then this is called torque steer. Which technician is correct? A. Technician only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 3. Which angle is largest? A. 0.55 degrees. B. 45 minutes. Circa 1/4 of a degree. D. Half of a degree. Question 4. The vehicle above will A. pull toward the left. B. pull toward the right. C. wander. D. lead to the left slightly. Question 5. After the vehicle is set up on the alignment rack, perform A or and what to check front caster. A. angle measurement. B. run out check. C. caster sweep. D. height adjustment. Question 6. A four-wheel alignment allows that to be adjusted to zero. A. centerline. B. thrust line. C. rear toe. D. front toe. Question 7. Technician A says that the front toe determines the thrust angle. Technician B says that a tolerance adjustment involves removing and reinstalling subframe bolts. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 8. Which alignment procedure may be done using self-calibration? A. Toe. B. Camber. C. Caster. D. Steering angle sensor. Question 9. Technician says that a vehicle with modified suspension may need an aftermarket kit installed to achieve the specified alignment. Settings. Technician B says that the radar cruise control may have to be recalibrated if aligning a vehicle equipped with an electronic suspension. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technician A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 10. Structural damage may be discovered by measuring A. Tire wear. B. Frame diagonals. C. With a carpenter's level. D. Towing. End of chapter 125.